We start this podcast on Thursday, November 12th, with a little bit of breaking news. You'll probably have heard of it by the time you're listening to this, but for us, it just happened. So, Byron Scott is no longer the coach of the New Orleans Hornets. What does that mean for fantasy owners? Probably not much, but hey, we're talking basketball, so we'll get into it. This is Fantasy Pick and Roll, your exclusive basketball podcast here at CBSSports.com. I'm Jamie Eisenberg, and joining me, as always, and
don't
as he
it.
Will prove
don't do it.
In our little wager, if you heard our last podcast, that he is the smartest, most all-knowing, all-powerful fantasy basketball writer in the world, Sergio Gonzalez. Sergio, Byron Scott is now gone. The New Orleans Hornets have struggled. They're, what, 3-6 in their first nine games?
3-6, yeah.
Just got absolutely destroyed by the Phoenix Suns on Wednesday night. They're not playing well. You know, they basically have three guys who are going at a decent level. Chris Paul is obviously still fantastic. David West is fine. And Emeka Okafor, I think, has made a smooth transition, had a couple bumps in the road, but for the most part looks to be the Emeka Okafor that we know. But the rest of the team is just not playing at a high level. The Julian Wright experiment's been bad. Peja Stojakovic coming off the bench hasn't helped. And you're looking at the collection of spare parts that they have. They have no shooting guard whatsoever at this point.
Devin Brown. He looked good the other day.
They have no shooting guard whatsoever at this point, and their defense is struggling, which is a surprise. So in the effort to shake things up, I look at it this way, Serge, and you disagree with me if you like.
All right.
I don't think New Orleans is as good as they were 2 years ago. I don't think they'll ever get back to that level with this current roster. Chris Paul had a fantastic year. He was an MVP candidate. They surprised a lot of people in the playoffs by getting as far as they did. I just don't see them. I don't think they're a championship team. I don't think that they're a top four team in the West.
You're saying they peaked that year. That was their.
I will say that they're better than the Memphis Grizzlies. However, I don't think that they are. They're not in the Lakers class. They're not in the Spurs class. They're not in the Nuggets class. They're not in the Mavericks class. And at this point, they're not close to Portland. They're not close to Phoenix, as we saw. I mean, they're not at that level. You know,
yeah, they're run of the mill. Team in the Western Conference, probably even a step below that. I think
Utah, they're not there.
What cursed Byron Scott was actually that year that he won the Coach of the Year award. He raised expectations to the point where last year his team severely underachieved. They left early in the first round of the playoffs. They got off to a slow start this year, and that was it for Byron Scott, who, being a Nets fan, I really respect the work that he did in New Jersey. He was kind of forced out there by Jason Kidd towards the end of that run. I think he'll land on his feet. I think he'll be coaching again next year somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, you know, coaches in the NBA get retread all the time.
Hopefully in Golden State, for fantasy owners' sake.
Yes, that would be a possibility. Yeah, it's a shame that it falls on his head, that
right.
it's not his fault.
Right, I mean, they raised expectations to an unreachable level, to be honest.
Yes, so.
That was the end of it.
I wonder if Paul had anything to do with it. Similar to Jason Kidd?
It's possible. I mean, he has enough pull at this stage in his career that he can do something like that. I didn't really pick up any tension between the two watching Hornets games. Mm-hmm. But it's possible. You never know. Usually with a move like this, especially early on in the season, it's possible that it came from the players.
Are we still looking at the same three guys as the only ones that you could start for the majority of fantasy leagues?
No, I'll tell you what. I was not kidding about Devin Brown.
But come on.
He got put into the starting lineup. Now, this kind of shakes things up because there's a new coaching staff. Take him out of the starting lineup. He's only started the last two games. He had that one game where he had 25 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 threes.
Yeah, but he'll have one of those once a month.
He's a player that, if he remains in the shooting guard position, this is a position that New Orleans hasn't gotten anything out of the last couple of years, ever since Morris Peterson's decline. If he remains in the starting lineup, I like the Hornets matchups next week, for instance, and I think he could be a little bit of a sleeper. I don't think you should just write him off just like that. It's Devin Brown.
In a league where you carry four subs, he's worth one of the four substitutes?
Four subs, if you're carrying some dead weight. No, more so in leagues where you have a little bit more roster space. I'll say, once again, for the upcoming week, I like his matchups, and if you're in a dire spot for a guard, I think he could be a decent one-week option.
Let me ask you this question, and we'll get into this guy in a second before we leave the Hornets. Would you rather have Devin Brown or Tony Douglas?
I'll tell you why Devin Brown.
Serge.
Nate Robinson is coming back next week. And Nate Robinson,
yes, and
Larry
that's gonna,
Hughes.
Yes, and Tony Douglas will play over Chris Duhon.
Right, but Tony Douglas is not going to, he's not going to just be inserted as the primary point guard just
no,
yet.
No, but
Chris, his minutes are going to go down. His touches are going to go down.
Whose minutes are going to go down?
Tony Douglas's.
He just started getting minutes.
Yeah, but Nate Robinson wasn't there. Now Nate Robinson's coming back, and that's gonna
you
have
would
an
you'd rather so carry. I'm, you'd I'm, rather carry
with that uncertainty for week four.
You'd rather carry Devin Brown on your roster than Tony Douglas
for week four.
Yeah, but if somebody you pick up Devin Brown, somebody else is going to pick up Tony Douglas.
No, but Tony, if you're in a keeper league, I want Tony Douglas. But in seasonal formats, I think he had.
He plays for the Knicks.
He does play for the Knicks, but how much is he going to play once?
Plenty.
No. How many minutes do you think per game he's going to get when Nate runs?
I think he gets 25 minutes per game.
25 minutes per game.
For the Knicks.
For the Knicks.
Yes, Chris Duhon is not a very good player. He plays well on that team. He's not a very good player.
No, I'm not dogging Tony Douglas at all. I like what he's done. I'm just saying there's the possibility that he's not going to maintain this type of production, obviously, once Nate Robinson gets back.
That's if Nate Robinson gets minutes.
Nate Robinson's going to get minutes.
According to who? D'Antoni doesn't like Nate Robinson. He's never liked Nate Robinson. He had to play Nate Robinson last year.
He didn't like him last year, and he still played him. I mean, you can't.
But now he has a guy that they drafted, that they spent a draft, they traded for to get.
The addition of an extra element that's going to get minutes, regardless of if it's a lot of minutes or a few minutes, is going to diminish his production in terms of what he's doing right now. Now, Tony Douglas he's shown he's a great he can do a lot of things as a point guard. He can do some things as a shooting guard. They actually think the Knicks, I'm hearing from the Knicks, that they would like him to develop more as a ball handler, so they're not exactly ready to hand over the keys, which is why I don't agree that he's just going to take over for Duhon.
Well, no, he's not going to. Duhon's not going to not play again. Right. Duhon's going to remain the starter.
All these guys are going to play. So that means that by just do the math, his touches are going to decline. And that means that in the immediate future,
I'll take my chances with
Devin
a guy
Brown,
in, the Knicks,
could be playing,
in the Knicks offense as opposed to a guy in the Hornets offense who's essentially the fifth option at best.
Fifth option?
Yes.
So who you Page
is over him.
Over him?
Yes.
Off the bench?
Yes. And maybe James Posey in some regard.
Right. James Posey's a role player.
So is Devin Brown. He's going to have games where he gets hot. I'm not going to disagree with that. He may have a great matchups in week four. I'm not disputing you at all. However, long term, on my roster, I'd rather have Tony Douglas.
Yes, and I think we're agreeing on that.
No, you're not. You're saying in seasonal format, you'd rather have Devin Brown. You just said that.
Okay, maybe that was misguided. In the long term, obviously, I like Tony Douglas. In the short
you said that.
Term,
you said in a keeper league. In a seasonal league where you have four reserve spots, I'm taking my chances with Tony Douglas.
All right.
With the chance to explode. All right.
This is the scenario where...
Where was Nate Robinson before last year in terms of his production?
Mediocre at best.
Mediocre at best.
Right.
Then here comes Mike D'Antoni in that system.
And picked him up.
Right?
Right.
And all of a sudden, Nate Robinson gets the chance to run around and do whatever he wants. So now, if you have a guy in Mike D'Antoni who this coaching regime, this structure... picks this guy. They traded for him. The Lakers drafted him. They traded for him. Who are they going to play? A guy who's got a contract that's walking out the door, or a guy that they can cultivate and develop?
They're gonna try to cultivate their future point guard, but he's not at the point where they're going to give him the type of playing time he's been getting recently. That has come as a result of Nate Robinson.
And then once Nate Robinson comes back, the guy who's going to suffer the most is Chris Duhon.
Right now, they see Tony Douglas more as a shooting guard than a point guard.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but Nate Robinson's also a point guard. So you're looking at a three-headed monster. If Duhon's going well, he will play. I'm not saying Tony Douglas is going to come in and set the world on fire. I don't think he's going to put up Nate Robinson-type stats.
Right.
But if you're looking at a long-term reserve for this season only,
right?
Forget about next year. Next year, we all agree Tony Douglas is better.
Right.
For this season only, you'd rather have the guy in the Knicks. Forget about who it is.
No, you'd rather have the guy in the Knicks. I think we're agreeing there. Maybe we were talking around this a little bit. We're agreeing there. The scenario where I say you pick up Devin Brown is if you're in a bind for week four.
I still
very,
take my chances with Tony
term.
Douglas.
Say you need a starter.
I still take my chances
you
with Tony
just
Douglas.
Plug Tony Douglas in there and hope for the best next week with Robinson.
Yes, right. Because he's the Knicks. Okay. If Tony Douglas is playing for the Spurs, different story.
You're in a cumulative league. You have this scenario with Tony Douglas. The Knicks play three games next week.
Mm-hmm.
The Hornets play four, and they have good matchups.
Okay.
You still go with Tony Douglas.
Yes.
Just plug him in, take whatever you get next week, just so you have him on your
own. All right.
I can live with that.
Hold on. You're clearly going to win the Erica Dampier versus Anderson Varejao and Kendrick Perkins.
Dampier put up a clunker last night.
In any event, the wager we made last podcast was that Dampier would outscore both those guys, not head-to-head.
Overall
fantasy points. Both of my guys had to beat Dampier.
Tell them who your guys are.
I just said it. Arizona Varejao and Kendrick Perkins.
Sorry.
We're going to go double or nothing. I'm going to take Tony Douglas next week versus Devin Brown, and we'll see who comes out. So you may get two lunches out of this. All right. Fair?
Four games against three, yeah.
All right. You and your Devin Brown.
There we go.
Now, I'm also taking this with the caveat that he may not start.
You're taking... Okay.
On Devin Brown. Okay. New coaching staff.
No, I mean, that kind of threw a wrench into the whole Devin Brown thing also. So, there is that. There is that too.
Because Douglas also cannot start. I mean, let's keep that
right
in mind too.
Right.
So, we're going blind here.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, New Orleans last night, they get blown out by Phoenix. Just some minor things to keep an eye on when you're setting your lineup for week four is that Paul and West had some minor injuries that caused them to maybe not get the minutes that we saw. Although Paul, 25.6 assists, you're not going to dispute that. But West, 10.4 rebounds. A lot of that had to do with playing time. So just keep an eye on the status of those two guys. The Phoenix Suns, we talked about this previously. I think, and this is something I think fantasy owners need to monitor going forward, Channing Frye at home.
Against Channing Frye on the road.
Must start.
Right.
Channing Frye on the road. And I'll say this. Channing Frye in the Western Conference.
Mm-hmm.
Solid. They had the East Coast trip. He was miserable.
Mm-hmm.
Comes back home. 13 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists. I think he'll put up stat lines like that almost every week. He's going to have the chance for some double-doubles. The assist probably a little bit high, but the 3-point shot is there. I think if I saw correctly, he's in like top 15 of 3-point shooters so far this year.
Yeah, and he's a center. So
yes, so he's just ridiculous. Much better in roto leagues than head-to-head, correct?
Yes. It's not to say that he's not of value in head-to-head leagues, but obviously you get that type of production. But the tricky thing is with centers like that who give you the three-pointers and stuff like that, they tend to sap you of the typical big man stats that you all of a sudden you're plugging in a center who's not going to give you as many rebounds.
Yes.
He's not going to give you the blocks because he plays more removed from the basket. So it's a mix-and-match situation. Obviously, if you can afford to take that drop in the rebounds and whatnot and you need the help in threes, then that's your guy.
Would you advise people who spent a late-round pick on Grant Hill to trade him now?
Yes, absolutely.
Or is he going to continue this?
No, I don't think it's physically possible at this age, the wear and tear he has in his career. Mm-hmm. The way that team runs the floor, I don't foresee him being able to keep this up for an entire season. I absolutely think he's a sell-high candidate. I've been saying that for a couple weeks, but he's been able to maintain it. So if you're still riding that, hoping that you can get as much as you can out of it, you don't want to be stuck with him when he falls and all of a sudden you couldn't get anything for him.
Russell Westbrook is another player to keep an eye on. He dealt with an injury situation on Wednesday night with an ankle problem. You can see it in his production in the game Wednesday against the Clippers. He had 2 points, 2 rebounds, and 3 assists. That is not a typical Russell Westbrook type of line, so monitor his status going forward. Hopefully he is okay. If he is hurt, Kevin Ollie had the biggest benefit in the game for the Thunder. But does James Harden get a boost? Because he had 7 points, 5 boards, and 8 assists. And he's a guy that they're trying to find a spot for, which is, you know, this is the problem when they drafted this guy.
Right.
You have Kevin Durant, you have Jeff Green.
They have a lot of similar guys.
Yeah, he's really, you know, I mean, they're forcing Green almost as a power forward.
Right.
Which is, you know, he's out of position, I think, in that regard.
Right.
Can you trust a guy like James Harden? I mean, assuming Westbrook's out, then I think his value goes up. But when everybody's healthy, what do you think of Harden going forward?
I think he's in a little bit of a catch-22 situation where he's not going to get the playing time needed to put up consistent stats. He'll put up the occasional solid line like we've seen a little bit early on. He's very talented. But like you said, he's just in a little bit of a bad situation because of a logjam there. They have a lot of similar options. They have started – I was watching some Oklahoma City Thunder games this week. They've started to give him more run, but in terms of being able to rely on him as a regular starter, not yet.
Yeah, they have no problem going small and going with either Kristic or Collison, and then Durant, Green, Harden, and Westbrook.
Right.
So don't be surprised if you see that quite a bit. And to, you know, also to give them credit, Harden can play the two. I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility for him to be a two guard. Keep an eye on Chris Kaman. Came down with a little bit of a virus Wednesday night. I think he should be fine.
Mm-hmm.
What's the latest on Eric Gordon? Anytime he's going to be back soon? Or
no, he could be out for 7 to 10 days, so he's going to be out till late November at this point.
Okay, so keep him reserve heading week four.
Right.
Okay. Latest on Tim Duncan.
Tim Duncan, this was a little bit of a headache for fantasy owners. The news came in just as roster deadlines were due, exactly 7 o'clock. I was watching it as it came in, and I thought, oh, man, fantasy owners are going to be ticked off about this one. He has a little bit of an ankle problem that's kept him out of 2 games now. They're hoping that maybe he can come back on Saturday. Tony Parker does sound like he'll come back on Saturday. If not, then fantasy owners are going to have a little bit of a tough decision to make for week 4, but I do think they'll both be back in the lineup.
I'll tell you, people who are hoping that they stay away for a while is the people who own Richard Jefferson and Manu Ginobili.
Yeah,
because
Jefferson is
ridiculous. Wow, it's amazing what those two guys have done. And along with, you know, I mean, he gets a boost. He's not going to be great, but is the DeJuan Blair.
Right.
But Jefferson and Ginobili, I mean, you'd like to see. I mean, it'd be nice to see these guys go at this level when everybody's healthy. Right. I don't think they're capable of it because right. of the way they play.
Right. These are the things we warn people of going into the season when you get really talented players that fantasy owners like to put a lot of stock in. But they go into situations where they just don't have the playing time and the touches to live up to that type of potential. We were warned about that with Richard Jefferson. We talked about that with Lamar Odom and Ron Artest in Los Angeles. We've seen that with Ray Allen already this year in Boston. Mm-hmm. It's something. I mean, they could be talented as all can be, but if they're not in the right situation, they're not going to put up numbers.
Stay with that for a second because it's Thursday night. I'm actually going to go down to the Cavaliers Heat game, and a lot of talk, as we know, is where's LeBron going next year? Where is Wade going next year? Fantasy purposes, do we want to see them in different teams?
Yeah, you'd like to see them as far apart as possible because the more good players like that play together, the more they take away from each other's fantasy value. I mean, we even saw that the last few years with Carmelo Anthony when Allen Iverson was still Allen Iverson. That kind of took away from his fantasy production a little
bit. But did it really? I mean,
It did. He dropped to the point where he was a late second rounder, actually third rounder in a lot of leagues going into this year, and you see the type of numbers he's putting up already this year. He's putting up top five fantasy numbers.
But it really, aside from the injury, which we'll get into with Paul Gasol, it hasn't hurt those two guys with Gasol and Kobe.
Gasol, well, what you see in some teams is that they develop, they put up like an alpha leader of the pack, and that we've seen it with Dirk Nowitzki in Dallas, mm-hmm. where the presence of players like Josh Howard and Sean Marion and Jason Terry hasn't really affected him because Dirk Nowitzki is going to get his. It's going to affect those other secondary players. So in a situation where it's LeBron and Dwayne Wade possibly on the same team, it could be split among two players. Once you start getting into two, three, four, five players, like in the case in Orlando and we've seen in Boston, then that's when it starts to affect players. So it really depends on a few variable factors.
So I guess in essence, if you're getting two alpha players,
right,
that's going to be bad. If you get
a third,
I don't want to say a third because it's going to be very difficult for three top tier players to go to one team. Right. The Heat, I think, is the one that's positioned the most because of their cap space. They would be able to keep Wade
and
bring in potentially two. The goal for Miami is to bring in LeBron and Bosch.
Right.
Now, if Bosch goes to one of those two teams, it's not the same scenario, correct?
Correct.
Because he's a second tier guy.
He wouldn't be that out
on one of those teams.
Right. On one of those teams. Right.
Same thing with
Joe Johnson.
I don't think he's going anywhere. Well, Joe Johnson, yes. Amari Stoudemire, mm-hmm. I think same. Now what happens if Dirk goes to one of those teams?
If Dirk, it depends where he fits into the pecking order. Let's say Dirk goes to,
he's behind Wade and behind LeBron.
It depends. Obviously it depends where he lands. It depends on the options. You obviously want him as a fantasy owner to stay somewhere where he's the alpha in that offense. So
yeah, I don't think he's going anywhere.
Think he's staying.
You're going to see very little movement, I think, for the most part.
Yeah, it's a lot of hype and not enough money to go around.
It was interesting. I heard this on a radio show that the question was posed. I think it will play a part. How much does Nike, which has the rights to Dwayne and to LeBron, how much will they play a role? Do they want them together or do they want them in separate markets?
That's interesting. Dwayne Wade was pegged by Michael Jordan to debut his 25th anniversary Michael Jordan shoe next year.
The 2010, yeah.
So,
you see how much they're going for?
$250.
Oh, I heard 170.
Oh, I heard 250.
Wow.
Either way, I can't afford it. But
you should shop where I shop. in any event, okay. So we'll keep that. I'm sure that'll be a running topic throughout the course of the year. The Mavericks are getting the same type of production. You mentioned Dampier, 1-4. You expect him to bounce back, though, and play more
like.
Yeah,
this was the matchup this week that I thought was going to be tough for him against Portland. So.
Yeah, against San Antonio.
Against San Antonio.
Yeah. Houston, we're getting... It's interesting to watch the Rockets and who steps up on a nightly basis for them. You get one night, you get Brooks. One night, you get Ariza. One night, you get Scola. Landry and Hayes sort of flip-flop back and forth.
I'll tell you what, Carl Landry, last five games, he hasn't scored less than 19 points.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, and he's coming off the... He's their sixth man, basically, right now.
Now, there was a report at first about Tracy McGrady hoping to return, I think it was November
18th. He jumped the gun a little bit.
They quickly yeah. backtracked off that, where McGrady said that's the target date, that's his ideal situation.
I'll say it right now. He's not going to play on November 18th.
Not even close.
Not even close.
They are talking about, hopefully, you know, the original day was sometime in January or February.
Right. They were hoping January or February. But the day that they were looking forward to set the concrete date was always November 23rd, which
yes.
is why I thought November...
He's getting an MRI.
He's November getting 3rd. An MRI on November 23rd, which mm-hmm. is why the November 18th date struck everybody by surprise.
I will say this. If you're a McGrady owner, you don't want to see him on the court until January. And I'll tell you why. You don't want him to rush back and suffer a setback that could potentially be a Gilbert Arenas-type situation where he comes back, plays a couple games, knee gets stiff, doesn't play the level he wants to play, and says, you know what, I'm not ready, I got to shut it down again.
Right.
You want him to let him take as much time as he can, and hopefully you were smart enough to draft Tracy McGrady as a playoff option
right.
in your fantasy league, not as a regular season option.
Right. Use other people to get you to the playoffs and use him to hopefully win you the playoffs.
Yes, if he comes back in February and is a 15-point-per-game scorer, three boards, four boards, four
15-5-5.
I don't think he's going to be a 15-5-5 guy because that's asking a lot,
mm-hmm.
especially with the way this team is made up. But he can be a, I could say, a 15-3-3.
Yeah.
And if you're getting that with the potential of a 30-point night, with the potential of a double-double every now and then I think he becomes a good number three, number four guard for you.
Right. He, in some ways, if he does, for whatever reason, get up to the 15-5-5 that I mentioned.
Must start.
Then he's a must start, obviously.
Yeah.
Obviously, this puts a little bit of a fear into owners of Trevor Ariza and even Aaron Brooks to some extent.
But does it really, though?
Trevor Ariza, I think it would. I think it would cut into Trevor Ariza's touches. Aaron Brooks is obviously going to still handle the ball most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And his offensive touches could diminish a little bit. His assists will still be fine. Trevor Ariza, I think, would decline a little bit. I don't think he's going to fall off completely. I don't think he's going to go back to the numbers he had in L.A. last season. But as far as the production he's been putting up early in the season, yeah, I think he'd fall off. Thankfully, it sounds like it won't be a problem until at least December at this point.
The Grizzlies continue to have an identity crisis. They are, unfortunately for Sergio's wonderful playoff prediction, they are struggling at 1-8.
Yeah. Not looking good.
And to my surprise... We've now been without Allen Iverson for three games.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Conley's still struggling.
Yeah, I'm a little bit surprised about that also.
At what point, let's talk about Iverson for a second. At what point do fantasy owners cut him? Now? Or do you wait it out?
If you're in a standard league with four reserve spots, I wouldn't let Allen Iverson be the player that separates you from making a move to better your team.
It's funny you say that because mm-hmm. I just made, I think it was, it's in one of the leagues we're in together. It might have been the Roto League where I was holding on to him for whatever reason. I dropped him for Tony Douglas. So
sure, because you view, obviously, Tony Douglas as an improvement.
Well, I just look at...
That you're going
to... I wasn't going to play Iverson to begin with. It was a late-round pick that I took him with the off chance that maybe he comes back and has a strong year.
Right.
So he wasn't a significant contributor for me. So I look at it as, okay, maybe get a guy with some upside.
Right.
But you know, I took him in several leagues with late round picks.
Iverson. Right.
So I dropped him in one league. I have him on, in one of my leagues, I could have him as an injury reserve spot, which I think if that's the case, you keep him on injury reserve.
Yeah. If you can stash him in injury reserve, you're in good shape.
Yes. Because luckily for you, it's not a, he's being held out due to injury.
Right.
For what,
it's a personal.
Yeah. But in leagues where you have to carry him as a reserve, do you drop him?
Again, depending on if I wouldn't drop him per se to pick up somebody else to stash on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're in a position where you have injuries or whatever, and you need to plug in somebody into your starting lineup, and you're staring at Allen Iverson being the player with probably the least upside on your bench, he's no longer a must own in fantasy.
Eric Dampier or Allen Iverson on your roster?
Depending on your center situation, I can see situations where you'd keep.
But would you rather carry a sixth guard or a third center?
Or a third center. I'd rather keep a third center. But I would assume everybody would have three centers for the most part. Fourth center.
Not necessarily. Most
a
people
fourth
don't.
Center over a sixth guard, I'd consider that also.
Douglas or Iverson?
I would take Douglas at this point.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's where we are with him. The Orlando Magic get Vince Carter back, and we're going to get, in week four, we're going to get Rashard Lewis back.
Right.
So Do you recommend starting Rashard Lewis in week four or let him get a week under his belt?
Stan Van Gundy's saying he's going to start him right away. Mm-hmm. He's kind of flip-flopped on this, so until we see it, we won't be sure. Mm-hmm. It does sound like he's been working out, but he has missed considerable regular season time, and sometimes it takes a couple games to get your playing legs back under you. In a standard format, I would start him. If you're in a smaller league and you have some options, I would sit him. But in most scenarios, I'd start Rashard Lewis right away.
Do you drop J.J. Redick now that Carter's back healthy?
It depends. I mean, it depends if you have, again, some leagues have four reserve spots, some leagues have more. If you're in a league with four reserve spots and you need to pick somebody up, J.J. Redick's production is obviously going to drop. Brandon Bass's production is going to drop. There's another player that I was considering that was also going to drop. It escapes me
Barnes.
Right now. Barnes is also going to drop. So players like that, you knew this was coming, and this is it's here. So
Iverson or Redick?
Iverson, I'd keep Iverson.
Yeah, I would probably drop Redick myself.
Right.
Can we expect this from Greg Oden going forward?
Yes. I'm very big on Greg Oden this year. I thought of him as a breakout candidate going in. He got off to a slow start. A lot of that was due to foul trouble.
Which you have to deal with going.
Yeah, forward. And that's not just going to go away completely with Greg Oden. He did have 18 points and 11 rebounds on Wednesday night. He had no fouls in that game, which is...
Well, consider the opponent, though.
Yeah, but it's something to consider that he's starting to keep it in check a little bit. Actually, in two of his last three games, he's had one or fewer fouls. So Greg Oden's offense is starting to come around. The rebounding had been there. The blocks had been there. Stuff like that had already been there. Now the offense is starting to come around, mm-hmm. where in the first few games he was only attempting three or four shots in the offense. Now he's actually getting in double digits in shot attempts. And now you're talking about a player who can get you double figures in scoring and in rebounds every night. Automatically, that's a number two center right there. By the end of the year, I think he'll be a number one center.
Are we back on the bandwagon with Andre Miller now that he's in the starting lineup again?
Yeah, a little bit. I still we had him pegged as a bust going into last year. I mean, going into this year, thanks to the move to Portland and his limited role. I don't necessarily think he's all of a sudden going to become that guard that he was in Denver, or Philly for that matter. But I do think he's going to be a useful week to week starter, and he might be more of a matchup based starter at this point. But he's absolutely worth owning and activating in most formats.
Are we off the bandwagon of Corey Brewer?
Not completely. No.
He's disappointed you this week, though.
He has absolutely disappointed me this week. I still think of him as a player who, in that offense, is going to get touches. He was already putting up a lot of the peripheral stats, which is why he was such a good option in category-based play. He's giving you steals, blocks, stuff like that, because he's a defensive player. But fantasy owners are going to want to see more production out of him offensively. We started to see that the last couple weeks, but this week, for whatever reason, he's taking a step back. I'm not giving up on Corey Brewer yet.
Is it time to bench Al Jefferson?
I'm actually calling him a sit for the week ahead in a preview to my start him and sit him, because the Timberwolves play just two games. He's been around 16 or 15 and 6 and 7 the last few games. Obviously not what he was drafted to be. Still useful, especially when you consider he's a center, but it looks like it's taken him a little bit longer to get back to full strength coming off that major knee surgery last year. If you're in a cumulative league for week four, yeah, I would go ahead and sit him, depending on your options, obviously, because he's got just the two games.
Well, you say that. Let's give people five centers who are maybe drafted as number two guys or potential free agents that have good matchups.
Uh-huh.
Who you would start over Al Jefferson. I'm assuming Greg Oden is one.
Yes, absolutely.
Because he was probably a number two center.
Mm-hmm.
I'll throw out some names. You tell me yes or no.
Week four, we're looking just week four.
Just week four.
Okay.
Kendrick Perkins,
three games against two games. No, I'd still go. 3-2, I'd still go Jefferson.
Andrea Bargnani.
Bargnani, four games, absolutely.
Andrew Bogut,
four games, absolutely.
Shaquille O'Neal.
Shaq, that's a tough one, but he does have four games over the two, so yeah.
Anderson Varejao.
Yes, Varejao is a better center right now in fantasy than Shaq.
And Jefferson?
No. Then Shaq, and I just recommended Shaq over Jefferson this week.
Okay, right. I got you. Brad Miller.
Brad Miller, Chicago has three games, two. No, I'd still go Al Jefferson.
Still go Al Jefferson. Roy Hibbert.
Roy Hibbert has four games. Yes, absolutely.
Ben Wallace.
Ben Wallace, four games. See, that's a tough one.
Not getting any points.
You're not going to get any points, but you can get. He can give you 40 rebounds. 40-ish rebounds. He can give you...
8 points.
Eight. No. He can give you...
2 points a game.
Maybe he... Let's look at the upside. He can
20
give you
points.
15 to 20 points. 40 rebounds. Yeah, it's a...
10 blocks.
10 blocks. That's a tough one.
I can't bench Jefferson.
I'd still take out Jefferson.
Where are we here? Jermaine O'Neal.
Jermaine O'Neal, for sure.
Wow. Horford's obvious. Howard's obvious. Tyson Chandler.
Charlotte has four games.
He hasn't been doing anything.
Yeah, I think that's he's more along the lines of Ben Wallace, and I'd still go with Al Jefferson.
Brandon Haywood.
Washington has three games, and...
They've been pretty similar.
No, but Anton Jameson's coming back next week.
Potentially.
It sounds like he could come back this weekend, actually. So, yeah, I'm going to give it as a given that Jameson comes back. So you're talking three games. You're talking Jameson coming back against two for Jefferson. I'm going with Jefferson.
Landry is center eligible?
Landry is not center eligible yet. Okay. No.
Matt Bonner.
Matt? No. I'd still go with Al Jefferson. Now you're going. I think you're going too far now.
Okay. I'm just looking at teams.
But I think we've hit most of the players who.
Channing Frye.
Phoenix has three games.
They've been and similar two, in production for the most
hey,
part.
Hey, two of them are on the road, like you mentioned.
Interesting.
Earlier. So,
but West Conference or Eastern Conference?
He is playing against at Houston.
Okay.
And he's playing against at he's at New Orleans.
I'm gonna say sit him.
Sit Frye for Al Jefferson.
Yeah,
I can go with that.
All right, Spencer Hawes.
Spencer Hawes, Sacramento has three games. Ooh, that's a good one. He's starting again.
I still go Jefferson.
That's a good one. I'm going to say, you know what? I'm going to venture and say Spencer Hawes.
All right, Chris Kane is obvious at this point. Mm-hmm. And last one, Andres Bajardos.
Bajardos is banged up, so that makes it a little bit easier.
Interesting. All right, you can check that out when Sergio writes it, cbsports.com, fantasynews.cbsports.com. All right, let's get through a couple more teams real quickly. Brandon Jennings must start?
Yes.
No question?
No questions asked. I think at this point he's established himself as a well-rounded fantasy option. He does it all. He hasn't hit that proverbial rookie wall yet. Mm-hmm. I think he's fine. He's a must-start.
Have we come to the point, I know he's going to have rookie moments, and I don't want to throw that guy in there, but Ty Lawson, worth carrying on your roster or no?
Deeper leagues. I wouldn't carry him in leagues that have four reserve spots, no. Mm-hmm.
Is Mike Bibby back to being a starting fantasy option in every league?
Not in every league. I think he's more matchup-based, and I think that's going to be the scenario all year, as long as Jamal Crawford's there. You're going to see up-and-down performances, because he's another one of those players who's still very much capable of putting up stats, but like we talked about, does he have the situation to produce? Not consistently in Atlanta.
I don't know how many people will have this scenario, but if you drafted Elton Brand with a third, fourth-round pick...
I'm sorry to hear that.
How high was he going?
He was going around fifth round. Right.
Fifth, sixth round. Somewhere right. In the first six rounds. Mm-hmm. And you also drafted Maurice Spates later.
Right.
Who are you starting?
At this point, you have to start Spates. Elton Brand's been brutal. He had a few games in there a couple weeks ago where he looked like he could be getting back to form, but he's been brutal lately. You can't start Elton Brand right now.
Can you start Terrence Williams?
Yes. I think the Nets are going to slowly get back to full strength. Chris Douglas Roberts is going to come back from the swine flu this week. And let's not forget, Chris Douglas Roberts, right before he went down with the flu, he was scoring around 20 points per game. He was getting to the foul line a lot. He was starting to put together some solid stat lines, and I think he's going to be the emerging player there.
I know you're really high on Charlie Villanueva next week.
Yeah,
can he keep this up?
We've seen it in the past with Charlie Villanueva. He's not a player who can be relied upon in long spurts, but when he's hot, you absolutely have to start him because he can put up elite numbers when he's hot. It's just, can you count on him on a week-to-week basis? No. So when he starts to decline again, then you're just going to want to reserve him immediately because then he can go into long cold spurts as well.
How long can Taj Gibson keep this up?
I think he can keep it up as long as Tyrus Thomas is out, which is for at least a couple months. So he's a player that is going to be starting at power forward. I think the player that's going to see the biggest benefit we've seen so far is Joakim Noah.
Well, Gibson had a great game Wednesday.
Gibson's had some strong games. He didn't have a strong game in the first game, replacing Ty Thomas, but he's had a couple of good ones since. Gibson could be a player who can give you around 10 points and 7 rebounds per game.
You mentioned Noah. If you drafted Noah as your third center behind Al Jefferson,
you are
obviously not playing him. You're playing him over Jefferson now.
Right.
Is this a long-term thing, do you think?
I think Noah's he's already establishing himself as a breakout player. Even before the injury to Ty Thomas, he was averaging 11 points and 11 rebounds per game. He's giving you blocks. He's kind of pushed aside Brad Miller there, where last year Noah had good numbers even with Brad Miller there last year. But this year, Brad Miller's kind of been pushed aside even further. I think Noah's he's arrived as a must-start fantasy center.
Is Earl Watson somebody worth picking up?
Depending on the size of your league, again, leagues where you have four reserve spots, maybe not, unless you're in dire need of a guard help.
Steven Jackson, we still don't know what's going to be the latest with him. Are we going to start to see his minutes decline?
It looks like Don Nelson's come out and said that they're trying their best to trade him. The fact that he's come out and said that means that they're not having any luck with that. So it sounds like they're stuck with him. And if they're stuck with him, I think they're going to try their best to resolve this in the most amicable way possible. We did see in the past, though, last year with Jamal Crawford, that if Don Nelson doesn't want to play somebody, he's not going to play him.
Yeah, but there's a difference, though.
There is a difference in the situation.
Jamal Crawford is he's a guy that they could get away with stashing away.
Because they had so much.
Because they were, you know, Steven Jackson does so much for that team.
Right.
Now, not that they're going to be a competitive team.
Right.
But
no, I'm actually saying I don't think it's going to be a Jamal Crawford situation.
No, I agree. I hear what you're saying.
But, it's not an ideal situation, but as we know with the Golden State Warriors, nothing is.
All right, bring me up to date with Paul Gasol, because there was a report at first that he's going to be out for... First, he was supposed to come back this week. That's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen.
Then he was going to be out for 2 weeks, or at least another 2 weeks.
Right.
Then there's another report out there that he could potentially be out until December.
Christmas.
Until Christmas, so the end of December.
Right. But that was I actually saw this happen before my very eyes yesterday. Pau Gasol, the initial report was that he was going to come back by Thursday. Obviously, that didn't happen. Then on Wednesday, leading into Thursday's action, they said he was set back another couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. Then a reporter asked Phil Jackson a question about Pau Gasol, and Phil Jackson's response was that he didn't expect him back until Christmas, kind of wryly smiling and making a little bit of a sarcastic remark. I actually didn't report on that because it was pretty apparent that he was joking around. Mm-hmm. And then it started to pick up steam and other news outlets started to pick it up. Obviously, they didn't hear him make the remark and they took him at his word and they thought all of a sudden, I even saw watching the Cleveland Cavaliers game last night, something in the ticker for ESPN that he's going to be out till Christmas. That was never the case. He was never going to be out till Christmas.
So, ESPN got something wrong?
Oh, well, they learned. They learned that he was going to be out until mm-hmm. Christmas.
Yeah.
So that was the report. Fantasy owners shouldn't panic. I mean, that's not to say he won't be out till Christmas because this is taking a long time, but that's not what the expectation is at this point. The expectation is still the news that broke yesterday that he's going to be out another 2 weeks.
So fantasy owners should just hang tight?
I mean, you have no choice. It's an interesting question that we were talking about this a little bit earlier today in the office. Had you known he'd be out this long, where would Pau Gasol have gone in drafts? He was going...
End of round one.
End of round one, early round two at the latest. Where would he go if you knew he was going to miss the first month and possibly longer?
Round four?
Round four or five, I think, probably would have been where he'd go. At this point, you have no... I mean, you really have no... You're not going to cut him.
No.
You're not going to get much value from him when he's injured via trade, so you have no choice but to reserve him. Just hope for the best.
Yeah, it's been extremely frustrating, especially when you're talking about if you draft him as a center.
Absolutely.
Because that's really hindering.
Right.
There's someone in one of my leagues. He's starting Kendrick Perkins and I want to say Brad Miller. You know, so he's...
You know who he should have been starting? Eric Dampier.
Erica Dampier, that's right. I think I'm going to ask Shaq tonight if he thinks that
Erica
Dampier is the best center in the Western Conference. That was once the big debate.
Shaq's got his own problems right now.
Shaq does have quite a few problems.
I'd probably stay away from that.
Yeah. I doubt Shaq will make an appearance to the media knowing
probably
Shaq.
Not.
It's also Miami where he's not exactly most beloved. basketball player. In any event, you can check out everything we have to say, do, write, videos, everything, cbssports.com, fantasynews.cbssports.com. I know I've been saying this for weeks. I'm going to organize and collect all of the emails we've been getting, and we will start to read them every Monday. We're going to start that every Monday.
Monday is email day.
Monday is email day. So right. DM fantasybasketball at cbs.com. That's D as in Derek, M as in... No, not Derek. That's my
Oh, my.
D as in Desmond, M as in Mason. Desmond Mason at... Let's start that. DM fantasybasketball at cbs.com. That's DM fantasybasketball at cbs.com. For Adam Azer, Aaron Brown, Sergio Gonzalez, I'm Jamie Eisenberg. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you again soon.